My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
The coach's perspective and the coach's input on who they believe has the best NIL. And look, I mean, you go out and plug John L. Davis from FAU. I mean, I'm sure he's collecting somewhere in the neighborhood of $1 million, you know, to play there this year. He was my number one ranked transfer, and John Calipari landed him no problem, you know. And then also got some pretty high caliber freshmen in there, some other good transfers. So it makes sense that Tyson Chicken money, the investment is real at Arkansas. So I'm pretty proud of myself for nailing that one without having seen it yet.
It's the second best job in the league, right?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I pretty clearly Kentucky, you would say, is number one. But in terms of places where national titles have been won this century, you got to kind of look at Florida, right?
I feel like all Florida athletics, I'm just like in this era, like they seem to be hesitant to embrace what it is.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I think you could also just talk about Texas from a resources standpoint, but
that's fair. I'm thinking old SEC. You're right. I actually think Texas would be the answer.
Oh yeah,
right. But I'll tell you what happened though is Eric Musselman revitalized that program, and whatever John Calipari comes in and does from here, I think in some ways he'll have they'll have Eric Musselman to thank for laying the foundation, and so. You know, I think the job that Muss did in getting Arkansas to the second weekend of the NCAA tournament 3 times in 5 years, that to me will go down as one of the all-time great, you know, relatively temporary SEC basketball coaching jobs, because that program had been kind of dormant for quite a long time. And I don't think John Calipari is racing to go to Arkansas if Muss hadn't done what he had done there and sort of put some shine back on that program.
I think that's right. Maybe I'll eat my words. I think Cal's got one more run in him. I don't know, like national title, but like I can see in the next 5 years where they have a team that's good enough to be a Final Four team.
They better. I mean, they're
that's true. I mean, that's a fair point.
I mean, they had no choice, right? And so, you know, Arkansas is putting all this money into basketball right now. They always have invested in baseball at a higher degree than most schools in the SEC. And now, you know, they're entering a rocky season for their football coach too. Are there enough departmental resources to go around to sustain all three of those things? That's a question that I have as well.
Because we know a lot of money up there, dude. There's so much money up there. Almost every forget Walmart, forget Tyson. Every company that has a retail presence has to have an office up there.
Yeah. Well, maybe they can do it. Maybe they can go out and land their white whale of a football coach too. But you know, you kind of got to pick what you want to be good at this day and time when you're a mid-tier or lower-tier SEC program. And Arkansas seems to be picking basketball right now as what they want to be good at. And I just wonder, you know, if there's going to be enough to go around if they do decide to go out and get some high-caliber football coach who's going to have a lot of demands for how much money he needs to spend on his roster. There could be some tug of war there. I don't know, because it's, you know, Kentucky, it's different, where John Calipari can just sort of run the show, and he had his clashes with Mark Stoops, but there was never any question over which program was more important at Kentucky when he was there. Now I think he's at a place where you can certainly say that basketball is more important, but football is more important at Arkansas than it was at Kentucky. And so I just have questions about if it's, you know, not now, then the guy after Sam Pittman, you know, how he and John Calipari will get along. That's going to be an important dynamic to monitor there.
No, but I mean, I think when you're talking about this, like, to me, the other thing is a lot of these schools that we've been seeing that have cared about baseball, like, I don't think it's any coincidence, like, Ole Miss and Mississippi State, like, Ole Miss particularly, like, hey, man, they're good in football and they're spinning in football. Well, guess what? Baseball roster in what it used to be. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think that's something else to watch.
Yeah, there's only so much to go around. And that's why I tell all my Tennessee friends to appreciate this moment in time where you've got your big three on the men's side all kind of flourishing in lockstep there. So that's rare. And I think it's going to become even more rare, you know, with the competition for resources and talent and victories now in the SEC.
All right, Kyle, we appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah, man, no problem.
All right, when we come back, we get into the list. Got an update on the Delaware State plane incident, whatnot. Bus and plane, or scheduled plane. We've also got perhaps a new unexpected company getting into the streaming space. We'll discuss that. We'll do that coming up next when we get into the list right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
get into the list.
Jeffrey and company make a list of the biggest stories, both good and bad, that we need to talk about. This is The List.
You just made the list!
Presented by Birdies 901, Memphis's place for virtual golf. The List on 92.9.
Gary Parrish, Matt Norlander.
You just made the list!
All right, we were just talking about this with Cobb, and so we have the Candid Coaches series, and there's certain types of content that I'm just an absolute sucker for, Kev.
Yeah.
And the anonymous coaches is always one. It doesn't matter the sport. I just love it because one of my favorite games is whenever like the prompt is have anonymous coaches talk about this school, trying to like match like who would have said that.
Right, yeah, exactly.
And you get to see some of the cattiness and the pettiness in the coaching community, like, I can't believe they don't win more. That job, like, that's a great job. Anytime you get that kind of stuff. So I'm an absolute sucker for that story. And they've got a series going on right now. We'll get back into what we were talking about with Cobb with the best NIL situation for programs. I thought this was an interesting question. What is the most amount of NIL money someone has asked you or your staff to pay a player? $2 million or more was 10.4%. Between $1 and $2 million was 40.6%. Less than $1 million was 49%. So this is what Gary wrote, saying, let's provide some context. Among the Power 5 conference coaches polled, the main thing you need to know is that a whopping 77% of them told us that their staff has been asked to pay at least $1 million for a player. Does every Power Conference transfer ask for that much money? No. Does every Power Conference program pay that much money? No. But what the results of our poll showed is that impactful transfers at the high major level are indeed routinely asking for at least $1 million to enroll. When we had Hurd in here a couple of weeks ago, I mean, that was basically verbatim what he said. I thought this was fascinating. The biggest number that they had heard for a player, $5 million. Gary writes, seriously, one coach told us his staff was asked to provide an NIL deal worth $5 million to ensure the enrollment of a player. Considering there's been no reporting to suggest a men's basketball player has ever received anything close to that, I'm assuming the staff politely passed and the price eventually dropped. Of course, I do get, hey, you know, you don't ask, you don't try.
You gotta try.
I think the K-State guy got $2 million, the big. Best coaching hires, high major coaching hires of the series. Do you have a guess? So this is, we're talking high major of the coaching carousels. So the options, you know, you got Cal at Arkansas, Dusty May at Michigan, Mark Pope, Kentucky, Pat Kelsey at Louisville, Kevin Young was BYU, Kevin Smith got the Stanford job, Darian DeVries got the West Virginia job, Andy Enfield, SMU, Holtman got DePaul. Who do you think they would have picked?
Oh, geez. I mean, it's not Pope, and I would think it's not Cal because they don't, you know, they're not going to pick Cal.
You went the same direction I did. We would have been wrong.
We were wrong.
43, because I think Cal's reputation amongst the coaching community is like, if I had his players, like, right. You know, like what I would do. 43.4% said Cal.
Interesting.
For the best best high major hire. 21.7 said Dusty May. So double Dusty.
The anonymous coaches poll here.
Correct.
Who was runner up?
Dusty May at Michigan.
Okay, Dusty May at Michigan.
Mark Pope was third at 8.5. Pat Kelsey 4.7. Kevin Young 4.7 as well. Kyle Smith at Stanford 3.8. Here's what they said about the Cal hire. Calipari's the best hire. His track record at every stop is the highest level of the sport. Arkansas may sneak into the best stop with all the power in reserves and fans. And the backdrop of less attention will give him some freedom to breathe. He'll enjoy it more there.
Okay, but I think we agree. I think we're on the same page.
I
mean, we think,
I think the Arkansas basketball job's a great job.
Yeah, Cal's potential at Arkansas, there's great potential there. But I'm surprised coming from the coaches because, like, this is the guy you pick. Like, you've got that full list, and you walk on the street right now, and you name all these coaches, and you ask Average Joe, who do you think, which one's the best hire? They're going to say Calipari because they're going to recognize most of the names. So they're going to, like, the Average Joe on the street, especially in Memphis, would say probably Calipari is the best hire. But the fact that the coaches went that way, that they didn't, there's not somebody else out there that there's a there's an agreement of that's
possible.
Because Cal has not been successful in this. You know, he's got to prove he can be successful now in the updated NIL landscape.
I would say it's less the NIL, it's the portal.
Yeah,
he hasn't figured out that formula.
Right, right. Because that's up to the school more for the NIL. But yeah, he's got to figure out the transfer and yelling at the players and all that stuff that he has to figure out.
Well,
but yeah,
possible theory, and I'm not saying I'm advocating this, but it's possible maybe in the coaching community, the Kentucky job isn't considered like as amazing in this era as it once was. Like, I think in the now that we've reached this NIL world or above board, the difference is so many jobs that were great jobs in the under the table era. They're now starting to struggle to keep up in the above board era because a lot of these, like, it's kind of true in football. It's kind of true in basketball. With that said, I still think the Kentucky job's a great job.
But you touched on it with Kopp. Like, it feels like the Arkansas job is the one that could excel under this new time that we're in.
Because like, Arkansas people care about basketball. They have the money. And it's not a sport where you're hamstrung by recruiting footprint.
You have the history. You get the recent success, of course, the Musselman was able to do. Nothing beats calling the Hawks.
Another quote, Cal stayed at Kentucky too long. He knows that now. But I talked to him on the road, and you can just tell a weight has been lifted off of him. I'll be shocked if he doesn't go to another Final Four. He's going to win big. He has everything he needs to win big. He'll be extra motivated in the SEC at a school that has more than enough resources to compete at the highest level. No one is better than Cal at reinventing himself and creating the us against the world mentality that will ultimately get him back to the top.
I agree with all that, but he doesn't. But it, could he be too comfortable? Could he be too, like,
I mean, that's the question.
That's the one thing.
Is this a last paycheck gig?
Right. Is this a tubby situation? It's not going to be that bad. It's not going to be as bad as Tubby. But like, could he be too comfortable? Because if you don't have the pressure of Kentucky, because he's not going to have it. He's not going to have anything close to it at Arkansas, because just a little bit of success will be fine.
The simple answer is we'll find out.
Yeah.
But my suspicion, and part of the reason why I'm bullish on it, is I think nobody motivates Cal like a grudge. And he's going to have this Kentucky grudge.
And we just get the announcement of that date, right?
February 1st, I believe, is when he'll return to Rupp.
Ooh, that's going to be fun TV right there.
All right, and then we mentioned it a little bit with Cobb, but which three programs do you believe have the best NIL situations? Arkansas came in at number one with a resounding 73.7% of ballots. KU, 43.2%. BYU, which was the surprise, at 30.6%. Kentucky at 25.3%. That's kind of like what I'm saying. The fact that, like, Kentucky's still a better than average job, but, like, I think if you do this in the under the table era, Kentucky's on about 80% of ballots. Indiana, Kansas State.
I can see it. Yeah, Indiana makes sense. Kansas State, really? Okay.
Baylor, Louisville.
Baylor makes sense.
Alabama.
So you've got Louisville and Kentucky in the top 10 here.
Correct. And here's what really shocked me. Duke only appears on 8.4% of ballots. Carolina, 6.3%. And UConn on 6.3%. Like, I would have figured both, like, right, all of those. And yeah. I need to see some math on the UConn. How is UConn getting this? They get the best roster. They keep who they want. Like, I think they're just maybe
keeping
doing a little more quietly. Memphis did appear on 3.2% of ballots, just behind Tennessee at 4.2%.
I mean, that's interesting because if we were thinking, you know, we really believe in FedEx, so it's interesting that.
I think the thing that's happened to the Memphis job is it's still a very good job. I think, though, it's not as good of a job as it once was, not for the reasons that we're talking about with the above board, under the board era, but now there's so many SEC schools that you are ahead of that have now been lifted up just because they have so much money. They got to spend it on something.
They're getting other money.
Correct.
Besides that, because Memphis competing in the, you know, above the table money is what we're talking about. Like, they're Memphis competing in that. But the problem is they don't have the other money to balance it out.
All right. Delaware.
That money is so much more. There's so much more than
that. Oh, God. Delaware State.
You just made the list.
Ah.
All right. I'm ready.
So
where are they now? Are we tracking their flies? Did they make it yet?
I know that they have a proposal that they can have a charter that will leave JFK tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Tomorrow morning. Have them there in time to play the game.
So they're not there? I was seeing some reports that they maybe were.
They've been trying to fly commercial, whatnot.
Take three different flights.
Correct. And that was basically, I think I called the story pretty well. So they tried to do that.
Delaware State missed their flight to Hawaii. They're playing Hawaii Saturday night. You know, set your alarms. Make sure you're awake. 11 p.m. Memphis time, I believe, is kickoff. But they missed their flight to Hawaii. The game is Saturday. But they're still not there.
Correct.
All right.
I also pretty much nailed the I don't buy their story of the snafu.
You don't buy it. It's still. You don't.
It seems like.
A bus snafu.
Here would be the broad strokes of what happened. They probably can safely claim the buses were late. I think had the buses been on time, they still would have missed the flights. It seems like from what I've talked to, just a classic. They didn't leave for the airport.
Why would you say snafu if they were late? Why wouldn't you just say the buses were late?
You don't want to look incompetent. In the end, this was, they did not.
The snafu does give
this
that
was, this was in
mystery out there.
If you've ever covered a college football team when they travel, it's like a military operation. Like everything is down to the minute, and this was clearly wild incompetence. And they did not do that. That's why they missed the flights.
Mm.
So they have the option to charter and fly. I'm curious to see. I know what the price tag's going to be. I'm bet they're on the phone with Hawaii asking if they can get some money.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
But that I. So we they've got to make it. The game is Saturday. Today's Wednesday. They've lost all chance of enjoying the trip to Hawaii.
Correct.
They're going to have
probably
to start
the reason
focusing on the
why
game.
this was what it was. I legitimately think we should make a movie of this. And
a sports movie. Sports movies in the box office, yeah. I like it.
It obviously should be a comedy, but there's no way that you can make it work that way. So if we're going to have to do the overcoming the odds story of,
right.
You know, overcoming the odds that you gave yourself by being wildly incompetent.
Yes, team stuck at the airport. Yeah, this is great. Yeah, this is great.
Like the race against time, classic movie trope. So you got the race against time. Will they get there? They get there, and here I think is the motivating moment. They're not going to win the game.
They can't. They.
But well, like,
what's the spread?
It was 39. I want to see if it's moved because I do know.
It's got to go up, right?
It's now gotten to where everyone is on Hawaii much so that I'm like, maybe there's a chance of Delaware State. You're asking.
Are they extra motivated now?
Or is it like...
They're stuck. They're just reviewing tape. That's all they're doing. They don't have their relaxed day. They're focused.
It's been such a disaster that like all you want to do is just go and play ball.
Right.
Give your best effort. Well, they're not going to win the game, but like maybe the final scene is a garbage touchdown to cover the number with the sideline going nuts, and that's where we get the emotional music.
Because it's a sports movie like you've never seen before.
Correct.
Because the triumph is getting to got to beat the spread.
Yes, you got to beat the number. Got to beat time.
Time.
And
here we go. You've got it. Time.
It's up. It's up to 40.
It's up to 40. Yeah.
And Hawaii's not a good team. Now Delaware State might.
Hawaii's great at Hawaii. You know, typically. I mean, not great, but you know, you're playing Hawaii at Hawaii. I'm trying to give Hawaii some credit.
Correct.
They're often favored in the Hawaii Bowl.
And Delaware State is like. God awful. Like, as they are a god awful FCS.
Are they worse on the field as they are making travel plans?
That is a legitimate question.
I mean, we'll find out.
Like, they might be like, it makes sense that they're a poorly run program. Like, you know what I mean? Like, poorly run programs are just. I want to be very clear because sometimes I think we can be naive in the media when you hear outrageous stories and you realize, like, hey, man, this happens more than you think, but you just don't hear about it. I did confirm that everyone in the travel business has never heard of something like this in college football. This is like this is a special moment.
And obviously what drives it home is the fact that you're going to Hawaii. So they didn't miss their flight to, you know, South Carolina or something. They're going all the way to Hawaii, the 10-plus-hour flight, and having to fly in commercial with, like said, 75 people. You're going to have to, if you can get a jet, split it into multiple. It does seem like it could be a great journey. I did see some, like, Instagram.
This is kind of like a
does somebody fall in love on the way? Does, like, one of the players, they meet the love of their life at the New York City hotel?
What if somebody was like, what if somebody, like, had, like, an internet girlfriend in Hawaii, and now, like, they're not getting to meet up?
Right.
They were supposed to have, like, a reverse Manti Te'o.
Yes.
Like, Te'o is from Hawaii.
Right.
Moves, you know, then has the imaginary girl. Like, what if someone misses out on love because of this?
That could be it. I mean, there's a lot of angles that could go. And in real life, and if we made a movie out of it, but I would see the movie. I think it would be probably a Disney Plus original, maybe at this point.
Maybe a Chick-fil-A.
Oh,
Plus original Chick-fil-A. Let's put Chick-fil-A on the list.
You just made the list.
All right, so you've got the story from Deadline. They're getting into the streaming business, perhaps.
Yes, Chick-fil-A hatches plans first. I love the puns
in the headlines were pretty good. Because didn't you say there was also a joke about would it be on Sundays?
Yeah, that was like the tweet from Deadline. It's like, would the Chick-fil-A streaming service be available on Sundays? But Chick-fil-A hatches plans for streaming service as reality TV comes home to roost. Multiple puns in that one headline. But Chick-fil-A is getting their own streaming service, potentially. They're becoming the Amazon of fast food, I guess. Like, it is.
Okay. First off, this is right. This is the moment. I think we've been here for a while, but this is like Chick-fil-A getting into the streaming game implies we have too much streaming, right?
Yes. I think so.
A company that is in the fast food business, starting
not
a
even 7 days a week in the fast food business.
Starting a production company out of nowhere. That is too much. Now, I'd be curious to know. I wonder, because you said most of it would focus on unscripted.
That's what they're looking at. The family-friendly game show. So not just reality, but a family-friendly game show. They're partnering with the people behind NBC's The Wall, you know, the Plinko game show. And they've got, let's see, there's a reality show. Budgets on the unscripted side are believed to be in the range of $400,000 per half hour. The idea is to launch later this year. There's talk of scripted projects and animation. Maybe we have the Chick-fil-A cow is getting a show.
Is VeggieTales moving to Chick-fil-A streaming? Is VeggieTales still on?
I think maybe it is, yeah.
I kind of stand behind VeggieTales. It was pretty good.
You like it? It was pretty good.
Yeah.
It was a VeggieTales spinoff. You could definitely spin it off with some different food items.
I guess the problem, VeggieTales would kind of go up against chicken.
Eat more chicken. Yeah.
This feels like... I also think that Chick-fil-A, although they've kind of risen above it when the far left groups would go after them for being very Christian. This just feels like getting into like the Hollywood scene kind of opens you up to that. A lot of criticism. Because that's the other thing. If you're going unscripted, whenever I hear unscripted, I hear cheap. And you know there's going to be so many think pieces written about how Chick-fil-A is exploiting these people. They're not even paying them. It's like,
oh, yeah.
You know, those stories are coming.
Because they're going to have, like, teenagers working on the cruise. And then we've got, I mean, there's so many positives of Chick-fil-A, right? That maybe they can bring some ideas to this area. But I guess, really, it's Amazon, right? They made the move from being, you know, just a store to getting into production. And you, prior to that, like a little bit before our time, like it was a big deal. But if you watch 30 Rock, you're well aware of it. Like GE and buying NBC. Like, this is a microwave company that got into television. And
I mean,
so
Jack
it's not unheard of.
Jack Welch had to sign off on NBC gave the Tonight Show to Leno from didn't give it to Letterman.
Right, yeah. That's true.
Like, that's a huge part of it.
Yeah. He from was, GE, yeah. So Maybe. That would be something if Chick-fil-A just all of a sudden purchased a legacy media, which they're not doing. They're going to start your own, because what you can do, it's pretty easy to do. I have not heard, but Lyft, apparently, Lyft has their own show. Have you heard of the Lucky Lyft?
I did not realize. Is this
a game show?
Is this in America?
Hosted by Bob the Drag Queen. Yeah. I guess. Airbnb has a show which they produced on MTV.
Did not realize that. So I guess, is this the new product placement? Instead of doing product placement, you just produce your own show?
I mean, you can't.
An advertisement?
The Flaming Hot Cheetos movie, did you watch that?
No, I do know the one. Because I was going to watch it, and then it turned out, like, I read a story. It's like, oh, this was all entirely made up.
Right.
Like, there wasn't even, like, a hint of truth in this. All right, toss up. What do we need less? Chick-fil-A Streaming Plus? Or... A Travis Kelce action comedy.
Well, I mean, one of them I would have predicted.
That yeah, one be, you could see coming.
One makes sense. I mean, the Travis Kelce one makes sense. I can see.
I don't find him entertaining.
I don't. Like, his brother is.
I find his brother wildly entertaining.
Yeah, his brother
I do
has
not
got
find
potential.
Him entertaining.
But, I mean, his brother's like a, you know, the fourth or fifth main character in a Will Ferrell movie or something.
He's like Galifianakis. Like, he's kind of like a sideshow, but he's funny. Like, I find him to be more authentic. All right, here we go.
Right.
Kansas City Chiefs star Travis Kelce has landed his first movie role. According to The Hollywood Reporter, Kelce is set to star in Loose Cannons, an action comedy film produced by John Wick director Chad Stahelski, among others. The plot of the film features two cops being forced to become partners after their precincts merge as a result of budget cuts. The duo ends up taking a lower-profile cases that other cops want to tackle. I want to be clear.
Well, who's the other half of this duo? We don't know yet.
I don't think we know yet.
That's going to be huge, though. But let's be clear. Where are we being clear?
I'm all in on buddy cop movies. I'm just not in on Travis Kelce buddy cop movies.
Did you watch his SNL from earlier this year?
It was fine. I mean, most of the athletes kind of end up doing pretty well on those because they're not from the comedy world, so they just let the writers, like, write for them. And so they end up, I feel like that ends up kind of being a better thing. But you
watch Peyton Manning do it, and, like, you're like, this guy's got something when you see him do it. You didn't see that with Travis doing it.
There was one skit that I thought was pretty funny.
But, so, I'll need to, the fact that he probably will be invited back to host SNL, I would guess.
No matter whatever his performance.
He's the host of the new celebrity Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader?
The more and more, the buffet-sized helping that we kept getting of him, I didn't think worked in his favor. He kind of has the same problem his girlfriend has. Like, a little Taylor Swift's great. A lot of Taylor Swift starts to get aggravating and annoying.
From my perspective, I don't think we have reached maximum Taylor Swift.
Oh no, for sure not
helping. But for Travis Kelce, like, he is, you know, one breakup away from what is. Can he survive and continue his career when they break up? His pop culture career. I mean, I think
it's a real question to me of how much is, like, the Taylor Swift machine getting him gigs. Because what's clear,
I mean,
right now,
he would have none of this without
right. Help me out, because I am not someone, like, I fundamentally acknowledge she's clearly the biggest star right now in the world in terms of entertainer.
Undisputed, we have not, like, we live in the city that Elvis used to live in, you know, like, she's reaching this stratosphere of celebrity.
She goes to a city, finds the biggest stadium, and sells it out multiple days. There's no one else right now that's doing that.
Nobody can do it.
Help me out here. Here's what I've struggled with, though. When did she go from the girl that everyone I went to college with was like, she just gets me, to literally the biggest star on the planet? Because that was what, like, I felt like she kind of, like, faded a little bit. And then it's like, right after the pandemic started, it was like, boom, she is mega star.
Yeah. I don't know if the exact timing. The Travis Kelce thing did help her in a little bit, and continuing to elevate her status.
I think it's safe to say it helped him way more than her.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. But it just made a whole nother group of people aware of where she had landed now.
Correct.
Right?
That was,
like,
not
it was official. Then she's on Time Magazine's
Football
Person
fans
of the
were
Year.
Not her demo.
And but I don't know the exact moment. I can go back. When did we do? Well, we had Taylor Swift trivia night, and because I'm always tracking the trends, right? That's what I'm doing. And we did that way before there was she blew up to that level. But we were. I knew it was something special because we packed out Rail Garden on Taylor Swift trivia night, and everybody was singing along to every song. There's just some type of connection in this, especially in this. It's extra special now because we don't have that much shared media that everybody is consuming. So to have certain music that we know, like there's not that one television show, you know, that we talk about. There's for a certain demographic and a lot of people, like the Taylor Swift is a lot of that shared
right, but like
media.
Usually there's like a consistent build. The thing that was fascinating about this one is she kind of had a dip where she was like falling in popularity. And then it just explodes. Like, it's just insane.
She had that, I mean, that Midnight's album came out and had every, you know, she had every track in that top 10 from that one album. There's just certain moments that happened and together just made it,
and maybe
there was no turning back.
And maybe another big part of it is, as you're talking through it, now that music has become so fragmented and so, it's like, it's way more niche. When you actually have a pop star, it just becomes mega pop star because everything else is so small. When you have one, like the whole machine goes into that one person rather than like 15 people.
Her ability to do what she can do, but also just the number of hits that she has had. And there are some stars that are close, like Drake and Beyonce, of modern stars who have had as many hits as she has had. But her success on top of it, her just willingness to use that power that she did have even before it was, you know, to this level where she challenged Spotify early on, you know. And she's also a big part of this Ticketmaster thing. So she uses her power in a very particular way. She's strategic on that, which is may be very interested here in what is an Olympic year and an election year as well with Taylor Swift out there.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, I had a moment last night in Hard Knocks, and I want to talk through it with you because...
Spoilers coming up.
Yeah.
Spoiler free.
I had an uncomfortable thought, and we'll talk about it next right here. On Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Kind of the quick recap. The biggest thing, we got to see Ryan Poles, the GM, trying to make the trade for Matthew Judon. And basically, like, the mechanics of that. That was pretty interesting. You had these weird, they keep having these weird scenes of Kevin Warren, who's the former Big Ten commissioner, now the president, where they were talking about what type of bar stools that they wanted to put in their stadium that doesn't exist and they haven't even gotten funding for. That was interesting. It's almost like he has decided, like, I have to be in every episode, because every time he pops in, it's always very awkward and you're like, this was like... It doesn't fit with, like, everything that they're trying to tell us. But the real big focus of the episode, for the most part, is Caleb Williams. And I had this thought, and this was the uncomfortable thought that I had. If you were treating it like a stock, I think right now I'd rather have more Caleb Williams stock than CJ Stroud stock. And that's not a knock on Stroud. I think Caleb's going to be really good. And I think he could be like a reminder of sometimes just don't overthink it, where, yeah, USC was disappointing last year. Part of them being disappointed is the fact that they literally on defense could not get a stop whatsoever. His offensive line gets banged up. He had to do a lot of hero ball. But his ability to make so many throws where I just go, wow. Like, the only person that's like even in that category for me is Mahomes. And there was this great, one of my big like stupid sports guy things that I do like 100% like dumbest things that I believe in. I believe in quarterback hand size. And Joe Burrow, right, who I love me some Burrow. They were scrimmaging the Bengals in the rain. And the whole reason I believe in this, the hand size matters, I was a guy who played quarterback with a small hand. When you get in the weather, it's hard. The ball slips out of your hand. And sure enough, like, Burrow has a pass, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I knew that one. Comes out wobbly high and with, like, no velocity whatsoever right off the bat, and then they smash cut to Caleb throwing in the rain. It's just like it looks like he's not missing a beat. I think he's going to be really good. And I think maybe not to, like, this. In the end, he goes 1-1. So when everyone likes, like, there is.
Well, you're basing your thinking he's going to be really good based off of the show.
From the information
you're getting from the show.
The questions that I had about him have been solved. And granted, okay. I admit that has been. Well, you are, to a certain degree, you're beholden to what the producers show
right,
you.
By reality show editing.
Correct. And the biggest questions I had about him were not playing football. It was, did he really, like, did he play football because he was good at football? Or did he, like,
right.
really, like, want to be great? I think the guy actually wants to be great. I think the struggle that people have is he is truly, like, the first Gen Z quarterback. And, like, things that he's into. Like, last night, perfect example. He puts the football from his first touchdown. That's also another thing that's bothering me. We're now, like, your first touchdown's your first game. Like, regular season game touchdown.
Correct.
But now, like, we do this thing where we're counting preseason and whatnot. But he kept his ball, and he puts it in, like, this gator skin, very, like, high fashion, like, handbag.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's the first time a football's been put in, like a Louis Vuitton, like, gator skin bag. And I have no idea what the actual brand was, but that felt with. He's also, I think, going to be set up for success. In the same way that C.J. Stroud was set up for success, where he's going to a team early in the draft that's going to be better than a team picking where they should have been picking. Now, the key difference to me is, like, C.J. Stroud walked into an offense that had Laramie Tunsil, and Laramie Tunsil is the most underrated offensive lineman in the NFL because, like, if you watch C.J. play, he doesn't even have to worry about the left side of the offensive line because Tunsil just handles it. So, like, whenever his first read's not there, he kind of drifts a little bit right because he doesn't have to worry about left. He just knows it's taken care of. Up front, they're maybe not going to be as good, but the receivers he's going to have, like, he feels like the rookie that we're just going to be talking about, like, oh, yeah, maybe we kind of overthought this.
All right, that's fair. Anytime you can watch Hard Knocks and really come away either with a fresh take or to back up what you were originally thinking, I think that's...
It was kind of like Cam, where everyone, like, in the end, they both go 1-1. So it's like, how much hate was there really? They were the number one picks.
Right.
But there's kind of this, like, denial maybe that each is as good as they are, and I think we're going to recognize very quickly, like, oh yeah, he's really good. Like, is he going to be Mahomes? Like, I have no idea. But I think he's going to be really good. He's going to be a top 5 quarterback. Like, that's kind of where I am. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we tell your story next, right here on Jeff Rett and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Kev, for today's Tell Your Story. So, we have a new Francis Ford Coppola movie coming out, Megalopolis. This from, I can't say this writer's name, Bilge Ibiri. He writes for Vulture. This was a great way to get me to click on your story. The trailer for Francis Ford Coppola's Megalopolis features a history of dismissive quotes from noted critics about the director's earlier masterpieces. There's one problem, however. The quotes appear to be made up. Literally the definition of don't tell these story, tell your story. It's the Kevin Durant when everyone hated me. Everyone doubted me. It's like, you were like the number one player in the nation. You were the number two draft pick. Like, we didn't doubt you that much. But yeah, like, they just made up quotes, made up bad quotes about Francis Ford Coppola's previous movies to promote his new movie. So I got to respect the game.
September 27th. It comes out September 27th with Adam Driver.
Trailer does look pretty good, actually. I want to thank David Cobb for joining the program. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For Dennis, for Kevin, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
Memphis is number one place for sports. This is WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, flagship home of the Memphis Grizzlies. 92.9 FM, ESPN, and Odyssey Sports Station.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
O'Reilly! You've got questions? O'Reilly Auto Parts has answers. Need a pro you can trust? We've got that too. No matter what you need, our professional parts people have the training and expertise to help you do things right. Deep automotive knowledge. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
These days, everything in Memphis costs more. But a single line at Verizon doesn't. Get one line for as low as $50 per month when you switch and bring your phone. So, while coffee is definitely costing more, here at Verizon, you can save. And dinner for two has gotten pricey. Verizon, less pricey. Midtown rent, that's not coming down. But Verizon, down. One line for just $50 a month. That designer golden doodle, so much more. But Verizon, a fair bit less. Even a good old tried and true hamburger will cost you more. But with Verizon, the same tried and true service is now just $50 per month for a single line on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees. Point is, in a world that is always costing more, you can get more for less right now at a Memphis Verizon store. $15 promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G, 4G, LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Howie, what time is it at Robert Irwin Jewelers?
Time to buy diamonds.
What time?
Time to buy diamonds.
Now?
Always time to buy diamonds. Five locations or online at rijewelers.com. Bigger, brighter diamonds and free financing.
What time is it?
Time to buy diamonds.
Recent weather taking a toll on your roof? A-Team Roofing has you covered, literally, with their 24-hour tarp service to stop further damage.
I pity the fool that doesn't check out our online reviews.
A-TeamRoofers.com.
This is the story of the one. As a facility technician installing a new welding station, he knows getting the ventilation right is critical for safety. That's why when questions arise, there's Granger. Granger offers detailed technical product information online at his fingertips, so it's easy.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to the Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.